B-Pod Studios.
This. Yay! Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crack enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
All right, right to your phones, as promised. A couple of calls from Maine on the board. Just while you have Paul in Maine, Matt in Maine. We're not in Maine. We move, just whatever your take is, put it on fast forward, okay? Paul in Maine, lead us off this hour. Go ahead.
Come on, you can be nicer than that. Hey, guys, Kyrie, the leader of the team, is like a high school girl who's too immature to dump her boyfriend. She acts like a dink until the guy gets so sick of her, he has no choice but to say, see ya. God bless Kyle Lowe.
Okay.
Oh, God, please.
Bad Paul, though, but that's it. He's out.
No, make the decision for him because I said that I was going to stay.
He's out. He's out. He wants out. And that's all that. And that's, you know, because maybe we didn't know what kind of pill that Kyrie is, but I still am holding out that he's not this bad, but it's gotten this bad because he has one foot out the door and he doesn't know how to handle it. And that's pretty much what's going on.
So it might be, because again, you know, you go back to that Kevin O'Connor story that we read from earlier in The Ringer, where he says people around the team noticed a change in his demeanor and you know, attitude right around the time he had that press conference in New York.
What trade deadline?
Okay, but again, so what? This guy's been in the league how many years? What changed?
Oh, something. I believe something happened behind the scenes. I believe it became clear that Durant was leaving or going to New York. This is all around the time that, within a week, stories of Durant to New York. What's his face?
Porzingis there? Got traded.
Thank you. Porzingis got traded. Durant reported going to New York. Anthony Davis officially requested a trade out of New Orleans. It all happened within a couple days of each other. And my guess? They're all talking behind the scenes and say, okay, this is what's happening. He's going there. You're going there. You're going to join me here. And that was it. That's when it was decided.
So then maybe
he's out.
Yeah. Maybe then he realized, right. At that, I see what you're saying. That at that moment he realized I'm out of Boston because I'm going to go play with KD in New York.
Something like that.
And so all of a sudden, you know, what, he started acting like a complete a-hole because he had to distance himself from this thing.
Or he just didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah, maybe. Could be. It could be that simple.
Doesn't want to be here. Who knows? Maybe there was a trade request in there. It was all around the trade deadline. So, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff happening behind the scenes. We don't know.
Maybe.
We don't know. So, I just think he doesn't want to be here, and he doesn't know quite how to handle it.
That could be that. Yeah, I don't rule that out. I'm just telling you that with this guy, I rule out nothing. This guy blows with the wind, for crying out loud. And he thinks that Durant's his buddy, and it's going to be all, you know, strawberries and cream in New York when he goes with Durant. 2 years, they'll hate each other. 2 years.
Bill in Arlington. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, how you doing? I saw over the weekend video footage of the Celtics team photograph happening, and I was shocked. Like, Wick Grauspeck's face was, like, horrified, uncomfortable. And then there's Kyrie sitting next to Gordon Hayward, and you can tell as soon as the photographer says, "That's a wrap, we got it," Kyrie jumps right up and flies off camera. Couldn't get out of it fast enough.
Where'd you see it, Bill? I'd love to see that.
I think it was on like CelticsBlog.com. It was on, I might have started on Twitter too. I checked a couple different sources. But one other quick thing, the Celtics have been doing this one thing with their season. It's not going the right way. Kyrie's a brain wreck. He's going to leave. I say, why not bring in Carlo, do something completely 180 because it's a lost season anyway. He's gone. Why not just go for it all?
Right. If it's going to be this bad, just let's go all in.
You can't be serious.
Let's go full a-hole.
Yeah. See, yeah,
No. I mean, because right now they're only about three quarters a-hole. Let's go full a-hole.
Oh, no. They're pretty much full a-hole now.
Let's go full a-hole.
No, they're pretty much full a-hole
now.
Let's
max out. Let's go over the top, because Carmelo will take you over the top a-hole.
Oh, God, like, at that point, talk about jumping the shark. Carmelo Anthony would be jumping the shark.
I mean, I see Murray's point. Let's just watch it burn now.
Yep.
I mean, let's watch it. Like, let's really get crazy.
Oh, God, please. Like, I would lose all respect for them if they did that. All respect. Told you. If Carmelo comes in, no matter what happens during the offseason, I'm out till 2020. Out.
Tom in Dorchester on NFL Overtime. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Apologies in advance to Andy Reid here, because he's probably not going to like this one. But I don't care. NFL overtime should be quick, should be exciting, and with no ties. I think they need to do one possession, no kicking, no punting, put a little more pressure on the offense, and if the defense makes a stop, they win. They don't have to stop and go down and score.
So one possession each, or just one possession, one possession?
One possession total. If you don't go down and score, you lose.
Oh, that's it. Oh, I see. Make that an either or.
And you got to get a touchdown?
I didn't keep him on long enough to.
Yeah,
well, it's got to be, right? Because it's too easy to give up a field goal. They got rid of that.
He said no kicking. No, well, that's fine the way it is.
Well, so then I would defer.
Oh, I kind of like that.
Wouldn't you want to play defense? Even though in the playoffs, I think it was 3 out of 5 offense that got the coin flip, went down and scored a touchdown. 3 of the 5. So it's actually 60% in the postseason. I don't know.
Oh, I kind of like that idea.
But it's, I don't. The whole point is to feature your talent. And the talent in the league is the quarterbacks. And so you should have each guy, when you have a guy game with these marquee quarterbacks, each guy should get a crack at it.
Okay, but wait a minute.
Brady dueling Mahomes in overtime in the postseason is what the league should want from a business standpoint.
Right, from a business standpoint. Yes. So again, you say the whole idea is to feature the talent. Isn't the whole idea to find out who the best team is? Competitively, isn't that what the idea is?
Okay.
So that's the reason I watch.
So we're going to do it on a coin flip? How does that determine anything?
No, I'm just telling you that competitively, I believe in the defensive part of it.
Yes. Very few teams.
So if we want to make it a Vegas act, like, you know, and all about the entertainment value, and I'm not dismissing, I mean, I live in the real world. So most of the time. So I do understand that it's all about making a buck. I get that at the end of the day, but that's not the number one reason I watch.
Matt in Maine. Go ahead, Matt.
Hi. First on Irving, when the announcer said yesterday Irving steps up to guard Harden with 5 minutes left and needed to stop, said, oh, God, here we go. I mean, there are times on offense when he's unstoppable, but when he says stuff like, I'm not worried about the Celtics in the postseason because I'm here, yeah, stop acting like LeBron. People tell me that I'm a big Kyrie hater. I don't care what he did in the past. Like, when people say that he brings a championship-caliber player to the team, I care what he's done for Boston. Right now, I'm not impressed with him, and I just think he's so unlikable.
Oh, my God, it's been brutal. Been brutal. Mr. Happy is spreading cheer all season long across the Celtics. Oh, my God, could you be more freaking miserable?
Spreading cheer.
Seriously, this guy, you know, walks into the stadium again, like the Sunday afternoon ABC game, marquee time slot against a marquee team, against an MVP favorite from the other side, your rival, contemporary, one of those guys. And you get to do your catwalk. You get to do your little runway walk, your fashion show. You get to show us your latest fashion.
Sachet.
Your latest brand. The stuff you've been spending money on. The stuff that you get to promote your movie or your next movie or your former movie. This is what you get to do. This is what the players love, that walk. It's what they created it. And you walk into the stadium and say, I can't effing stand this. I can't wait for this S to be over. Good God, what an attitude. I mean, seriously.
Even Rondo used to like that.
Exactly. What a freaking attitude from this guy. And when your best player, that's how he walks into the stadium? In one of the few games that actually matter?
You know, to the caller's point, he's another one. Like, I think it's a team-wide disease. He's not as good as he thinks he is either. Like, we're going to be fine because we have me. And it is. It's a LeBron comment. That's what LeBron would say. It's totally what LeBron would say. And LeBron can impact the game at the defensive end. So Kyrie stepping up and saying, oh, I'm going to play Harden now. You know what the right answer is there? Marcus, you guard him because you're a better defensive player than me. There's like, Murray, what do you say all the time? Like, lack self-awareness?
Yeah.
Or an understanding of who he is and what he's capable of? Kyrie has that problem, too.
More with you right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
What are you going to do to turn it around? Just play better. Just got to play better.
We've got a lot of guys that can play a lot better. So I just think we all can be a little bit better. What you can do better, and there's obviously a lot that I can do better. It's about everybody getting a little bit better. I'm going to let us have a chance to play better. Hopefully I'll coach better, and we'll play better.
We need to be a lot better than that. We find ways to play better together. We need to play a lot better.
He lies and acts like things aren't grim. Brad is the better man.
We got better.
He's playing better.
Drew up screens at Butler. He's playing white bread. Brad is the better man.
We could have played better.
Brad is the better man.
We've got to do a better job.
Brad is the better man.
So we have to just
We just have to keep working to all play better.
Oh, this team sucks.
We just have to play better.
Play better as a group. We have to play a lot better defensively if we want to be a good team.
That was coming from Murray after we uncovered the whole better thing last week. Kyrie taking a subtle shot at his coach.
Just too easy.
Too easy. Last week, I got an email from a brain surgeon. He's taking a break from brain surgery. Says when Kyrie Irving said last week that I'm so sick of talking about getting better and on and on and on about getting better in the regular season. He wasn't taking a shot at the commentary or the media. He was taking a shot at his coach. Because his coach constantly is talking about getting better and playing better. To the point where it's part of this growth philosophy that that Brad Stevens has. To the point where he hands out and gives people books that are written about it. Again, let me just give it to you. I'm just calling it up. I'm pretty sure Stevens, and this is again the brain surgeon, sent us another email today. I'm pretty sure Stevens keeps getting better. And that mantra is based on the growth mindset that he's bought into. It's the message of continuous incremental improvement, a.k.a. keep getting better. He recommends Carol Dweck's book, D-W-E-C-K. I don't know how else to pronounce that. Dweck. Sounds like Mad Dog Russo trying to pronounce Dreck. Dweck. Carol Dweck's book, Mindset, The New Psychology of Success. He's given that book to assistants and some of his players. He gave it to Rondo, and our brain surgeon emailer says, I'm sure he gave it to Kyrie. He gave it to Jaylen Brown, and Jaylen Brown said, I actually already read that in college, because Jaylen Brown, of course, is really the smartest guy in the room.
Exactly.
They got a lot of guys who are the smartest guy in the room.
Oh, no, no. They got the 12 smartest guys in the league.
So anyway, this keep getting better and growth mindset is just, it's like really ingrained in Stevens to the point where he's read up on it and blah, blah, blah. And so when Kyrie does the get better thing, that's taking a shot at his coach.
Feels that way, right?
Yes. So he hates the media. He hates the team. He hates it here. He hates his coach.
What? Strongly dislikes.
I'm sorry. Our sources say strongly dislikes. And he's going to turn around and stay?
I don't rule it out. I'm serious. I know. I'm on the good ship lollipop over here. I don't rule it out because I think in that league that it can all flip in a second. You get rid of four guys, you bring in another, Kyrie's happy, everything works. Like, again, we've seen it before. It happened with Paul Pierce, basically. They were ready to trade his ass once. All of a sudden, they win a championship with him. So I rule out nothing. Do I feel good about it right now? No. And that aside, like, take out the coach part of it just for 1 second, okay? Who sits there and says, I'm tired of talking about getting better? Let's just go play the playoffs.
Honestly.
Like, who says that? Like,
I know some guys may feel that way on bad days, and it happens, the grind of the season, but, like, to announce that to the world?
No, like, yeah, this. Can you believe this crap that we keep saying that we're going to get better? What a waste of time. I'm not interested in getting better. I just want to play. Who says that? Who in their right mind would say that?
This guy, this piece of work. So you still think there's a chance you get him to stay. My question is, do we want him?
Yeah, I do. I still do.
You want to hitch your wagon to this piece of work?
Yep. Laughing because I'm reading some of the reviews of this book, Mindset by, what is it again?
Dweck. Carol Dweck.
Yeah. Dweck, D-W-E-C-K. Oh,
Dweck.
It's called Mindset, The New Psychology of Success.
I think this book was a waste of money. The tone of the book is very repetitive and annoying.
Chapter 1, just get better.
Yeah.
Chapter 2, try to get better.
Well, this is Stevens, just from yesterday alone.
We just have to keep working to all play better. We have to play better. You know, individually and collectively, we have to play better. You know, I've said many times, I have to coach better. We have to do better. We all just have to play better. We have to compete better together. We have to play better, and, you know, we're playing good teams, and we just have to be better.
Yeah, you're right. It didn't sound like a very interesting book. Yeah. Like, by the time he's at page 5, you say, like, all right, I get it.
I think I've embraced the concept here.
I get the point.
It's sinking in.
The growth mindset. I mean, but it's sort of coaching 101. Bill does the same thing. It's like, let's get better today. Like, that's sort of They all talk about it's just about today and getting better today. Like, Brad's hardly the only one that does that.
See, maybe Stevens has just accepted the reality that they hate each other. So he says, fellas, you don't need to like each other. We just have to play better.
Do they hate each other? It's just so, again, Kevin O'Connor in The Ringer wrote a story here. It's some a few little nuggets. He says that it's a team the Celtics lack identity. He says, well, actually, maybe they actually have one, and that identity is discontent. He says, I spent some time around the team over the past few days in Boston. After Friday's win against the Wizards, all you could hear in the locker room after the game was the thud of Semi Ojeleye's weights hitting the floor behind a closed door next to the Celtics locker room. Besides a short conversation between Irving and Rozier, everyone in the locker room was quiet. It's after a win. According to various team reporters, it's been like that all year, no matter if the team wins or loses. Morris said earlier this month that it's not fun this season, which is so unlike what I witnessed, meaning Kevin O'Connor, saying being around the team for a half season last year. He says the locker room was always active last year and the bench was always engaging during games. There was high-fiving and communication. Now, players won't even jump off the bench during big moments. They seem like a bunch of guys who are looking forward to their summer vacations. We've also heard this, that the Celtics locker room is, they don't really talk. There's no action in there among the guys. Irving specifically, he says, was engaged for a time this year. Even in December, as late as December, he said at that point, Irving was playing with consistent defensive effort, fighting through screens and closing out hard. In the locker room and in huddles, Irving was enthusiastic and encouraging. But as the trade deadline approached, something changed. These days, writes O'Connor, Irving plays lackadaisical defense and unfocused offense. Sources around the team told me that Irving's persona has changed too. He's become disengaged and detached from those around the team. There is talk that Irving's friendships on the team start and end with Tatum, with whom he shares an agent. Two sources peg Irving's change in demeanor to early February, around the time he was asked about the possibility of joining the New York Knicks next season. That's when Irving infamously said he'd make the best decision for his family and they didn't owe anybody blank. So, see, I don't think it was the press conference that set him off. I think he was set off to begin with. I mean, what did he think he was going to be asked about when he arrived in New York days after Porzingis has traded rumors of Durant to New York and Irving to LeBron or whatever, like all these things had come out in the last 48, 36 hours. What do you think he was going to be asked?
So you know what? That's what it was. It was the Porzingis deal because that opened up the second spot. And all of a sudden, the reality of playing with KD dawned on him. And now it was, I got to get out of here.
That's what I think.
I mean, that's what it feels like. So can the Celtics reverse that? I don't know. Feels unlikely. I mean, if I were him, the only part that to me would be hypocritical for Kyrie in that.
Do you think it's possible to do it if this season goes up in flames like it looks like? First or second round exit, and it's just this miserable slog to the end. Do you think they could still convince him to stay?
Highly unlikely.
Yeah, I
doubt. So they have to have success.
Some success. It's got to end way better than it is right now. I mean, what's going on right now is a train wreck.
It's unbelievable.
No, it's a train wreck. Again, and I felt that way the night of the Toronto game. I went, oh boy, that's bad. I mean, to go in and get their asses kicked like they did like that, I mean, they just completely shut it down. They quit. The first quarter was good, and then they faced a little adversity, and they imploded. They quit. So I didn't expect a lot when I turned on the Houston game yesterday, and I didn't get much right from the beginning. They were down 28. 28 points.
At home.
Like, that is just, and Houston's not even that tough.
They're not that good.
You know, they get some guys who can shoot, but if you leave them wide open, well, they'll make them.
They have the same record as you. They're a 5 seed over there.
It is, but I look at, but you could say at least they had some injuries at one point. You know, they were missing a bunch of guys. Yeah, yeah, Harden had all that burden on them, whatever else. But like, even then, I just don't think, come playoff time, when Houston's faced with adversity, Houston's going to crumble too.
How bad is it? It's so bad that even the most ardent green teamers are jumping ship. Email of the day. Felger writes our emailer. So I just got back home to the Green Mountains, and I want my money back. All of it. The $1,000 I spent on tickets, the $82 for gas, the $110 for dinner, and any other money I dished out today to go watch that embarrassing collection of individuals who wear Celtics uniforms. I want Kyrie to personally cover cost. What a bleeping dirtbag Kyrie Irving is. When Boston traded for Kyrie and signed Hayward, I was convinced Banner 18 had been delivered. Little did I know, Hayward and Kyrie would somehow do the impossible. Undo almost a decade of flawless GM work by Danny Ainge. Forget re-signing Kyrie at this point. Does anyone want him? This is Armageddon, Mike, he writes. Everything we've been building towards for the last 5 years could all be for nothing in a couple of months. He says this Celtics experience has become gross! Exclamation point. I love this team, but god dang, if they make it impossible to not hate them. Kyrie had a closeout early in the second half yesterday that was so offensive as a fan of the team and of the game of basketball itself, it made me want to puke! Exclamation point. Frankly, it was disrespectful! Exclamation point. He could not have been more disrespectful. He walked to center court and held up two middle fingers to the entire home crowd. Kyrie had several uncharacteristic turnovers that were just hideous. It almost looked like he was shaving points if I didn't know better. Just yesterday, again, versus Houston, I saw Kyrie get into it with Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and Jaylen Brown separately. Usually when Kyrie was not in the game, he didn't even sit on the bench. He went and sat on the ground away from everyone else. Is that true?
I guess I didn't pick up on that.
Me neither.
I'd like to see a few pictures, Green Teamers. Do we see? Did he actually sit on the ground next to the bench away from the team? Emailer said, Kyrie does not want to be a part of this team. Period. Story over. Another guy who hates to play basketball right now is Gordon Hayward. Wow! Exclamation point. He hates basketball. He hates himself. He might even hate Brad because he keeps putting him in the damn game. I'm sure like everyone else on the team, he hates Kyrie too. I could go on and on. There is absolutely nothing right with this team! Exclamation point. Nothing. They blow. They are not flipping any switch! Exclamation point. Not now, not ever, certainly not in the playoffs. Life as we know it as a Celtics fan could be over. Signed, Green Mountain Luke. Luke.
Poor Luke.
Luke.
Somebody was in need of a green cloud of smoke. Seriously.
My sources say Luke doesn't hit the green stuff anymore. Maybe
he should.
Maybe that's the day to do it.
Yeah, Luke, don't do it.
It'll level you out a little bit.
Go for a nice walk.
That's the state of the Celtics right now. I promise. We'll wrap it up with your phone calls after Murray's update.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We'll look at everything. We've been looking at everything after every game, every night when we go to bed. Every minute when you wake up, you're always thinking about that. There's things that are helpful in that and things that are not helpful. And if it's the root of your issues, then I think then a small tweak can help. I'm not sure that that's our root. That said, we still are evaluating tweaks regardless. So we just have to keep working to all play better rather than when we play.
Brad Stevens, yesterday, impossible lineup changes. The thing about the root cause stood out to you there, Mass?
Oh, just the way he says it. You know, that can work if it's our root problem. I'm not sure that's our root.
It's not their root problem. He should make some lineup changes, but that's not the root issue. The root issue is they hate each other.
No, I know. It's just the way he says it is like, to me, I read that as a public acknowledgement that we have major problems here.
Yeah, we're screwed regardless.
I mean, really, that's how it comes off. And again, he can say that, no, that's not what I meant, because it's vague enough where you can hide it. But I'm not sure that's our route. That's his way of saying, guys, have you been in our locker room? Have you seen what it's like in there? These guys hate each other. They don't want to play together. We have a major problem. Like, there's no way around that. I don't see how they fix it. That's the part that's most alarming.
Not this year. But we'll see. Okay, wrap it up with your calls, as promised. Yeah. Jim in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Jim. You're up next.
Hey, Felger, man. How you doing? Yeah, I went to that game last night with my son, and it was terrible. We had to leave after three quarters. That's how bad they're playing. And I think Stevens definitely has to get Brown in there and Morris out. Kyrie, I don't know what they're going to do with him. I mean, I love him as a player, but his attitude sucks. And Noah and Carmelo, Maz, I'm with you on that, buddy.
Okay. So, thanks, Jim. Thanks for the call. His attitude freaking sucks.
Oh, God, really. Again, and you could see it in that Toronto game. That, to me, that's where it really started to get bad. That was a big moment, Mike. That game was a big moment. They went up there to play that team. Like, that's a moment where you can grab it and spin it.
You bet.
And they got walloped. They got walloped.
Ben in Medford. Hi, Ben.
Yep. Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. We're all sick of Kyrie. I'm just wondering, you guys just touched upon it a bit, looking to the future, if you're Brad or Danny, you know, what do you do to, or who do you add this summer to get back to last year's form?
Okay, so if it's no Kyrie, what's the plan? And to me, the plan is to turn the team over to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Be smart with your money. Hope Gordon Hayward recovers, because he ain't going anywhere. Who's going to take that? Who's taking that? I mean,
no, he's probably a laughing stock of the league at this point.
He's a freaking basket case, and I don't, like, I feel bad for him.
No, you don't have a choice. You hope that he gets back to what he was.
He probably has a legit excuse, but I don't know. No one's taking that money on. Unless it's the final year and they can treat it like an expiring contract, and, you know, then it has value. But did he sign 4 years, Jimmy?
I think it was three with an option.
Three with an option.
Three with a player option. Well, anyway, no one's taking it next year, I doubt.
Mike, I think with or without Kyrie Irving, the Celtics are going to trade for Anthony Davis, even though he doesn't want to come here.
See, that would be a mistake.
Oh, my God. So Kyrie's gone.
I mean, if you have to give up Tatum to get him, that's a mistake.
And then they still give up Tatum and everyone else to bring in Anthony Davis.
That's stupid.
So the only way it makes sense to me to go get Davis is if Kyrie's here.
Right.
That makes sense. But without an extension, we're going to play that game again after this thing blows up, if it blows up? Like, that would be a mistake. So look, if Kyrie leaves, to me, the answer is obvious. You just stick with what you've got. You don't have a choice.
Look, Tatum's obvious. Yeah, obvious. He can be a top 10 player in the league. So there's a guy. I'm not going to give up on Jaylen Brown. He's pissed me off like the rest of you with, you know, his nonsense of he's going to win 5 or 6 rings before he's 28. And, you know, his attitude hasn't been great. But I think you've seen the last week or so. Like, there's still something there. He has a chance to be something if he ever just figures it out.
I mean, the thing that he's really improved on to me this year is that little fall away that he's got. He makes a lot of those now.
I just think his athleticism.
Sure.
He's got tremendous athleticism, and if he learns to play defense and cares about playing defense, he could be a great two-way player. He really could. And you hope that Gordon Hayward just takes 2 years instead of one, and now you let some money fall off the books, and you sign a max guy, and there's your, you know, I'd rather go that route, I think. I'm hitching my wagon to this guy, Kyrie. It gets less appealing by the day.
So that's not, to me, that's not my preferred route, but that's the probable route. If Kyrie leaves, what choice do you have?
I'm selling out for Anthony Davis, even without Kyrie?
No, I wouldn't do that.
And then Anthony Davis turns around and porks you a year later?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. And if that, to me, if that ever happened, that's a fireable offense.
It just feels so desperate. Like, what the hell are you doing?
And when I say fireable offense, you bring Kyrie in and he leaves after 2 years, then you bring Davis in and he leaves after one, and you have nothing?
Oh, my God.
And you've traded Tatum? That's a fireable offense.
You still think that's on the table, Jimmy?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a fireable offense if the owner orders it.
Okay, well, that's different. I'm just saying that I would hope your basketball people would be making that call.
There's no fireable offenses with the Celtics. Ha, ha, ha.
Well,
jobs
know.
For life. One championship in 18 years and countless rebuilds. Well, ha, ha, ha. No, jobs for life.
It all depends where Wick is on it. If Wick says, yes, Danny, we want Anthony Davis at all costs, and he can't fire the GM for just executing his order.
Well, right. So that part's obvious. I'm just telling you that if, as a basketball executive, if you did that, if you went to ownership and said, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, and if you had to sell ownership on it and then Davis left, yes, that would be tough.
I mean, I look at that and say, whoa, like, what are you doing?
Sean in New Hampshire. Hi, Sean.
Yeah, hi, guys. Thank you. Long time, first time. Love the show. You were talking earlier, Kyrie saying something today, like, oh, when I was younger, I liked the cameras in my face and I wanted to be famous. But now that I've grown a little bit older, I don't want that anymore. I just want to play basketball at a higher level. How much younger? 8 months ago, when you were filming a freaking movie and getting a nose job? Like, come on, dude, grow up.
Oh, it's such nonsense.
It is. It's condescending. He talks down to them.
He wants, no, but it's so fraudulent. He was miserable walking in the building yesterday because he doesn't want to be here. And so he just expressed that to the cameras following him into the stadium. That's what happened. Now he's trying to play it off like, I don't want the cameras in my face. I don't want to be famous. Shut up. You want fame. That's what you want fame. You want non-basketball fame. You want all fame.
Again, it was announced a little more than a month ago that he has yet another terrible movie coming out. This one he's starring in, helping to direct, about a haunted house.
He wants to be LeBron.
You wanted your own team. Why'd you want your own team if you don't want the spotlight? What are you talking about? Rick in Maine. Hi, Rick.
Hey, hi. Thanks for taking my call. First time caller, long time listener. Hey, listen, here's my point. Is it statistically possible for the Celtics to slip out of the playoffs entirely?
No.
I mean, they got 18 games left, 12, 11 of them are away, and they can't really win at home.
All right. Well, hold on. Let me look at it. They have 17 left. No, is it 18?
No, they're going to get another playoffs. That's going to be ridiculous.
Hold on, but is it possible? And would you please, Globe, just list the conference like 1-8?
Orlando's under 500. They're 5 games under, and they're in the 8th spot.
Why do they? Okay, so they're not going to miss the playoffs. Is it possibly it's slipped to the 6?
No.
Unlikely.
Who's 6?
Detroit, 31 and 31.
Oh, is that right?
6-8 or 500 or worse.
Okay, so you know, you're the... The 5 is pathetic enough. You're 2.5 games out of the 4 spot. Thank you for throwing that up on the simulcast there. Yeah, so you're 2.5 behind the Sixers for 4th. You're 3 behind the Pacers. You should be able to catch the Pacers, both these teams.
They're not going away, Mike.
Okay, so, well, listen, I took a quick glance at the schedules today. Philly's got an easy schedule. Philly's got a cake schedule. I don't think they go back out west. They're playing a ton of the crap in the east. Philly's got a really hard schedule. I think you're going to have a hard time passing Philly, if my memory serves, and Indiana, though, has a really hard schedule. I think Indiana goes out west still again, you know, with the Golden State, that whole trip. So,
but, Mike, Indiana is you from last year.
Yeah, Indiana cares. Indiana gives a crap.
They could beat you in the first round if they're the 4 seed with home court.
Celtics are going to lose tomorrow. And then they play back-to-back at Sacramento. That might be a loss, too.
That should be a loss.
So, they play Wednesday at Sacramento?
Yeah, tomorrow. Back-to-back. Golden State, Sacramento, no day off in between, right? They play back-to-back.
Yeah,
they're going to lose both of those.
Yep.
The way they're going now, they'll be lucky if they were in single digits.
This is an aside. Do you remember when divisions used to mean something, Mass?
Yeah.
Murray, tell me the names of the 3 divisions in the NBA's Eastern Conference. What are the names of the names? Just the names.
Atlantic.
Good.
Is it like Northeast?
I don't know. Atlantic's the one I know.
Okay, so you only know one of the 3.
Yeah.
Would you believe that the other 2 are Central and Southeast? Tell me who's leading the Southeast division, please.
Hold on. Charlotte.
Nope. But they're in the Southeast. I'll give you that.
Leading the Southeast.
Orlando leads the Southeast division with a 30-35 record, in case you care.
God. Wow, that's pathetic.
Right.
Name the teams in the Celtics division. Again, remember when divisions used to really... Name the teams in the Celtics division.
Boston.
Check.
New York.
New York.
Check. This is actually
Toronto.
Easy. Check.
Toronto's in their division?
Yep.
Yeah. Philly.
Yep. Check.
Jersey. Brooklyn.
Very good. You got it. But
you know what I mean.
I mean, that's just an aside. Like, you can't even...
No one even knows. It's East-West.
You can't even name the divisions. Why do they still bother with the... effing divisions.
I don't know. It's irrelevant. Division's irrelevant.
Scheduling.
And especially why in the newspaper? Would you break them out by division?
Conference.
No one even knows.
Yeah, go by conference. That's right. Conference is the only one that matters.
They just want to regionalize the scheduling?
Yes, sir.
Make sure you're not traveling too much? Whatever. Either way. Well, one guy who's finally got a smile on his face is Kyrie, because he finally got the F out of here. And he got to break bread probably with his fella there, Kevin Durant. So that took the edge off a little bit. We'll see if that impacts Kyrie's demeanor coming up tomorrow.
Some good eating out there in the Bay Area.
Final word comes your way next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word. Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
2 pieces of sound to get to here in the final word today. We'll start with this. A lot of franchise tags being slapped around the NFL.
Hmm.
What are the Patriots doing? Well, they cut a player. That would be tight end Dwayne Allen. That was something that Maz was very excited to hear.
So the clock's ticking. Week from Wednesday, the league year starts.
I think it's the moving parts of freeing up money, and that began over the weekend with cutting Dwayne Allen.
Oh, yeah, that happened. Can you believe it? Finally. What happened, Jimmy? I thought he needed... I'm sorry, what did he need?
Hush money.
Thank you.
It was a lot of it this year.
Oh, my God. Like
six and a quarter, I think.
I thought it was more than that.
How about this line in the story by
Aren't they renegotiating with him, though?
Oh, my God.
By Ben Volen and Nora Princiotti. Did you see this?
No.
The Patriots acquired Allen in a trade with the Colts before the 2017 season, and he was a solid contributor for 2 years. Hmm? What? Solid contributor to what?
It's on the All-22, Mass.
Like, what did he contribute to?
Blocking.
Blocking stories from reaching the media. Or leaking certain things to the media to get Bill's agenda across.
Thus getting his hush money.
Exactly.
Solid contributor? How? Like, what did he do?
Nothing.
Solid contributor for what? Like, I saw that line. I said, where? When? Where? Show me. I don't remember any of it. Solid contributor for 2 years? So, that had to be Nora Princiotti, right? God bless her. I don't know her, but she feels like a nice person, which is the problem.
Yeah, you can't have nice.
Nice doesn't cut it in
no,
the media.
No, not going to work. Good.
We also had Maz on, something that was floated out there courtesy of Gary Washburn, covers the Celtics for the Boston Globe, had a theory of who the Celtics should bring in.
I was hoping for my background music while you were doing headlines, Murray.
Oh.
Tom in East Boston. Go ahead, Tom. Tommy.
Hi, Felga. Felga, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Pierce said on TV last night that Kyrie can't be the guy. Two guys, free agents right now that I think Celtics should take chances on. Number one, Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, God, no.
Team chemistry can't get any worse, right?
Well, that's a fair point.
Number two, Glenn Big Baby Davis.
Okay, I'm going to stop you. Not unless you want to get them all high.
No, that's great. Let's bring in every a-hole who's left in the league that doesn't have a job. No, that's a great idea. Fab, you see, this is the point it's reached. I saw the Washburn thing this morning about Carmelo, and I said, is he serious? Or is this a joke? Like, when I saw it, I went, is this for real?
He was for real.
You've got to be kidding me. You want to bring in that freaking pain in the ass?
Can I ask you just to hold it?
Sure.
Because we've got a whole Carmelo thing for you later on.
Fine. Holy crap, that's what it's reached. It's reached that point.
Easy.
Sorry. That is the equivalent of I've given up.
Yeah.
I quit.
I quit.
Okay. Bringing in Carmelo Anthony is I've given up. I've quit. That's what it is. I am so desperate. I could get more graphic, but I don't want to insult. The level of desperation is so high that you would bring that guy in? You'd bring that guy in. No. No, you bring in Carmelo. No, I quit. I'm already out on this team. You bring him in now, even if it's for like 4 weeks, I'm out all of next year. I'm out. No, no. It's, oh, God. It's the
Carmelo Anthony.
No, no. It's a level of desperation that no man should see ever. This guy. It's a level of desperation no one should ever sink to bring in this guy. No, 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 no. 1,000 times no. That is like the worst thing ever that they could do. Bring in a toxic guy to a toxic environment. That's like a nuclear reaction waiting to happen.
We never got off the air even what the analogy was that you wanted to
use. Oh, no, I'll tell you off the air. I can't say it. I don't think I could even say this on the off-air show. Seriously, it's like it would incite people. I can't say that one.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.